On the show today, we've got Frisco City Councilman Tim Nelson to talk to us about local politics and his upcoming re-election campaign. Updates on the Texas Legends and Cirque du Soleil is coming to town. This is the Frisco Podcast for February 13th, 2014. All right, Tim, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it, Scott. Thanks for having me today.
It's good to have you here. So you are up for re-election this year.
Absolutely. Very excited about it. I've served for one term on the city council and looking forward to serving again.
Okay, very good. Now, as I understand it, you guys are limited to a total of three terms, correct?
That is correct. Back in 2009, we changed it to three-year terms is the maximum you can serve in any position.
Okay. And you'll be running for place five of the Frisco City Council. Explain to me a little bit how that works, because as I understand it, you don't really represent a part of the city. You represent the whole city. So we're not kind of districted and cut up the way that many elections are, right?
Great point, and a lot of people aren't exactly sure about that. I represent Place 5, which is kind of the legal designation for the position. There are six places on the city council, obviously numbered 1 through 6, but all of our positions are elected at large. So every city council member represents the entire city.
Good. So I can go knock on anybody's door when I have a problem and just say, hey, we got to talk.
I encourage you to, but considering we live in Texas, I would highly recommend that you call first.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. That's probably a very good idea, actually. So one of the conversations we had a couple weeks ago was with Mayor Masso, and he brought up something that I don't think a lot of people realized, and for anybody that didn't hear that one probably still doesn't, and that is that all of you guys are volunteers, the entire city council, right?
Yes, there is a misconception at times that we are paid professionals in what we do. We are all citizen volunteers. We all volunteer our time, talent, and treasure to what we do. As a city council member, we make in the hundreds of dollars per month. That amount is a stipend amount really to offset expenses. We are not on any kind of a payroll. So what we do is out of our love for our community and those that live to our left and to our right.
That's good. And Frisco is definitely a community with a spirit of volunteerism. Why do you feel that that is so important, an aspect of not only what you do, but kind of really how we behave as a community?
Great question. You know what it comes down to is I believe in volunteerism. I think that our founding fathers believed in volunteerism and that if you were to be involved in government at one point or another as elected official, that you should serve, give back to your community, and then make your way back to your home, your farm, your attorney's position, whatever it was that you were working in. I think if you look at our communities as a whole, those that are most successful are those communities that have volunteers. I mean, look outside your doors, not like within your doors, and you'll see those that are the most successful have the most volunteers. And in the city of Frisco, we have an incredibly dynamic volunteer citizenry. We have awards every year to appreciate them. And in fact, I think in this last year, the citizen that donated the most volunteer hours was literally in the thousands of volunteer hours per year. And if you think the average person, if you work a 40-hour work week, you work just over 2,000 hours a year. Yeah. This person made a full-time job out of volunteering. And I believe I'm a part of that effort.
Wow, that's fantastic. And it's great to know that we have people like that in our community.
We sure do.
You know, when you think about how many people are in Frisco, and I know the population estimate's around 137,000 right now, kids can volunteer too in a number of different ways. But even if you just took the adults in the community, so, you know, 60, 70,000 people, and everybody volunteered, what, an hour a month, how much?
Wouldn't that make for an amazing place? I mean,
what would we get done?
It's just incredible. And I mean, if you think about it, for some of our larger events in town, when you talk about the NCAA football championship, et cetera, a lot of the people walking around and helping there are volunteers. When you think about the races, the 5Ks and things like that, volunteers. When you think about Safety Town, Frisco Safety Town, volunteers. We couldn't live in the community we live in without our volunteers.
Now, that brings up a good point, because if people are interested in volunteering, there is an abundance of opportunity, and really you can volunteer to do something that you're interested in. If you're not a particular fan of one activity or another, it doesn't turn you on, then you don't have to go volunteer for something that isn't fun for you. There's fun things to volunteer for.
In fact, if you were to go to our city website and you can type in volunteer, what will happen is there is a city coordinator for that, and you can get on a mailing list. And basically, any time that there's a call for volunteers, you can get an email. And if you see something you like, hey, jump on in, let them know, raise your hand.
Are there any events, I'm going to put you on the spot here, are there any events that have been historically understaffed from a volunteer standpoint that we could maybe highlight and try to get some people involved with?
Wow. I wish I could think of some. I think there are some that maybe it's been a little bit more difficult to get volunteers, but I can't think of one off the top of my head that we didn't have the requisite number of volunteers in order to pull it off.
Well, that's good news then.
It is good news.
But we'll maybe look into that some more. If we come up with something, we'll let everybody know what that is.
Sounds good. We'll get back with you, Scott.
And the volunteerism part is interesting as well because you live that. You are also in the Army Reserve.
Yes.
And you have a day job.
I do.
You do a lot of different things. How do you keep up with all of
that? I do. Scott, I don't sleep a lot. I will say that, you know, in my civilian job, I call it my civilian job because I've been in the Army for so long. I've been serving the active force as well as the reserve force for over 24 years now. This July will be 25, a good quarter of a century of military service.
Thank you for that service, by the way.
It's my pleasure. I really do love it. And then, of course, I have a normal job like everyone else, working 40, 50 plus hours a week, including some travel. And then, of course, I volunteer for the city, serving as part of the city council, VFW, American Legion, things of that nature. So these are all things that are important. I think you need to lead by example, and you got to show your kids that it's important to give back, and that's a part of who I am.
All right. So let's talk about the upcoming election. That's going to come up quick on May 10th. We'll be here before you know it. What made you decide, outside of just the volunteering aspect, what made you decide to run for a second term?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think you need to have a dynamic council with different experiences and perspectives. You know, when I ran, there was only originally back in 2008, the first time I ever ran, we didn't have a single veteran on our city council. And that's not to suggest that a veteran is a better person, but I think a veteran brings a different perspective. And in a perfect world, I think you see all six of our city council positions being served by people with different experiences, different professions, different views on life and how things are done. Because I think if you have people with differing opinions, I think you can have a better dialogue and come up with better solutions. I think mine is one that is unique on the council. And so I think that unique perspective needs to continue to be there.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you running again. So Frisco is known for a number of things right now. We've been written up many times as one of the fastest growing cities in the country. We have been one of the friendliest cities in the country, I think I saw recently. We're certainly known for sports, right? We're getting the Cowboys. We have the Legends. We have the FC Dallas. We have the Tornadoes. We have the Rough Riders. Looking forward a little bit. Did I leave somebody out?
Oh, don't forget the Dallas Stars.
Oh, the Stars. Yeah, sorry. We do have the Stars here as well. Shame on me. I'm never getting invited to a game now. But looking forward a little bit, what do we think what will the city of Frisco be known for? What are the things that are coming down the pipe that we're going to continue to expand into and diversify our community with?
Well, I think one of the things that's important is, you know, you identify your strengths. I think, you know, just like as an individual and what you do professionally or from a volunteerism standpoint, I think you need to identify those things that you do well and continue to do those to the best of your abilities. At the same time, you know, we all need to work on our weaknesses as well, those areas in which we need to improve. When we interview volunteers to serve on our committees, commissions, et cetera, you know, one of the questions we'll ask them is, what do you leave Frisco for? And that brings up
a great question.
It brings up a great many ideas that we usually try to leverage. And oftentimes we'll hear things like, you know, fine dining. You know, the Shops at Legacy gets brought up quite a bit, which is an outstanding development. And just to let you know, we do have a couple of those that are on the drawing boards right now. So it's not something that's gone, unheard and unnoticed. We're definitely working on that. But, you know, we also think about things like, what about our teens? You know, we've had a large child population within Frisco, and we do great at serving our little ones. But I think that there's a bit of a void there when it comes to our teens. And so some of the things that we're working on right now is a BMX park, a skate park, and those are going to be things that are going to be really good for our teen population, give them a place to go and things to do. So I think, you know, what's Frisco going to look like? What will Frisco be known for in the future? I think it will be a city that is serving its population well in many different aspects. And of course, hey, there's certain things that we'll do better than others.
I'm glad to hear that. I'd had no idea that we were building or looking to build the BMX and the skate park and all those kinds of things. But yeah, it's nice to know that the city is not ignoring any one particular segment of the population, or at the very least is recognizing where maybe there's a gap that we can go fill in and make sure that really everybody is accounted for in that respect.
I will say that, you know, we've been behind the eight ball a little bit on that. I mean, with a town that's developing as quickly as ours is, hey, there are some things that you're not ahead of the curve on. And that's one of them. And fortunately, you know, we've been working on that very actively, our Parks and Recs department. This is something that, one of the other council members I serve with, Will Sowell, very important to him. And we've got on board, and we're really doing our best to forward that.
So this is a great opportunity to talk about why it is important for people to get involved and for people to vote in our local elections. But before we get into that, on the subject of teens and getting them involved, because since, you know, you and I have both been teenagers at some point in the past, barely remember that, but yeah. For that age group, it is that kind of volunteerism and activism is not always a high priority.
No.
Are there forums, is there a way for that group who would be interested in furthering the mission for something like a skate park to have their voices heard, to be, you know, present and to let that be known?
It's interesting that you bring that up. In fact, there is a mayor's youth council that there's representatives from each of the schools, each of the high schools within Frisco, where they have a voice and they meet on a regular basis and they provide their input to the mayor as well as the city council. In fact, one of their coup de grace, one of the things that their success is, the Arby's that actually is on Preston Road was actually one of their success stories. They said that they needed an Arby's, and so we were able to bring Arby's to town. So,
you're kidding.
A true story. So their voices are definitely heard. In fact, even on issues that we're talking about right now in the council, e-cigarettes, you know, we're talking about right now, legally, any age can buy e-cigarettes, any age. If you're five and the place is going to sell it to you, there's no law to prohibit them to sell you an e-cigarette. Most businesses limit that to age 18, same as regular cigarettes, but there's no law prohibiting that. That's something that the council's looking at, and we've actively involved our youth in saying, hey, what are your opinions on this? What do you think about e-cigarettes versus regular cigarettes, et cetera, and what do you think we need to do? So if they want to get involved, there's the Mayor's Youth Council, and of course, you can always reach out to a local councilman or you know another elected official. In fact, I had an intern work on my campaign 3 years ago who was a local high school senior, and just to have them get involved. In fact, he tells me that he'll be president of the United States at some point, so I'm looking forward to voting for him at some point in
Very
the future.
Very good. Yeah, making friends in high places.
Absolutely.
Already.
be good to say I knew him when.
That's right. Well, I'm glad that came up today, though, because I think it's important for that audience, for teenagers in Frisco, to know that this isn't just a token offer of, yeah, come sit into a city council meeting. Your voice will be heard. We will absolutely take into consideration the things that you have to say, your interests, your concerns, and address those just as we would with anybody else in the city.
You know, the best way to get recognized is to vote. And our teens, our 18 through 21-year-olds, typically have not come out in droves. But, you know, we want them to. And again, like I said, I had one involved in my campaign, and I actively asked him his opinion on things. As I was doing, I'm like, I said, hey, what's the youth's perspective on this and where I stand on this or what I'm about to do? And he gave me it, and it definitely influenced what I did.
Well, that's good. So speaking of voting, we're going to remind people as much as possible between now and then. It's coming up on May 10th. Historically, what kind of turnout do we get for local city elections?
You know, our elections in a non-mayoral year typically range in the 1% of voters. Not 1%, but single-digit percentages. During a mayoral year, which is this year, usually there's a hot-button issue as well, and we've had low double digits, usually in the teens. I don't know if that, I guess maybe that means that 10% of the people are running Frisco, because if you're not out there voting, your voices aren't going to be heard. I would encourage everyone to vote, whether or not there's an opponent, whether or not there's a disagreement. I think you need to get out there, because the more people that vote, the more responsive your government's going to be. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to look at it. If you want to have a voice, and you should, this is your city and your community, then the surest way to do that is to simply go out and cast a vote, and it doesn't take very long.
You know, Scott, I would like to share a little bit of inside baseball with you and those that may end up listening to this. The fact of the matter is that those that run for council, we pull up the voting records on everyone. Those are public records. All we need to do is contact Collin County or Denton County, and you can pull up the voting records.
So you
and
can see who I voted for, or just that I voted?
No, we absolutely can't see who you voted
okay.
for. But that would be really bad.
I just want to make that clear for everybody.
No.
So, yeah.
But you know who voted, and you know what elections they voted in. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, we will look at that, and the people that we typically will reach out to, and I'm talking from a candidate standpoint, we're going to look at that and say, okay, the House at 1234 Main Street has voted in the last 20 municipal elections, that's someone I need to talk to. That's someone I'm going to reach out to, right? Because I want that person to vote for me. If I look at all the other addresses and see, well, that household has not voted ever, you know, and I'm knocking door to door, I'm probably going to skip that door. And it's not because I don't care, but as a candidate, not as a representative, Nelson, but as a candidate, Nelson, I got to go to where the votes are at. So all I can tell you is, even if there's not an opponent running in a race, please vote, because guess what? I'm going to go ahead and engage you, and future candidates will engage you if they see that you vote.
Yeah, and it's not to say that you don't have a voice in the city if you didn't vote, but the surest way to get your voice heard is to go out and vote.
No question. That's the number one thing you can do. The second thing is reaching out to your elected officials, obviously, via email, via voice. I can tell you that when I get mass emails, like, you know, the form letter, et cetera, I have a tendency to look at them and say, okay, Roger, check that. But if someone calls me, boy, they have my undivided attention. So if you want to get an elected official's attention, and I'm not talking at the Senate level, they're not going to call you back probably, but the local level, you want to get the attention of myself or any of the other council members or the mayor, call them, direct me. Trust me, you'll have their undivided attention.
Yeah, one of the statistics that came up in a company I was working with a few years back was that something like 80 or 85% of all the money that people spend is within, I want to say, like 10 or 15 mile radius of their home. Which means that even if you haven't been historically an active voter, what you do, how you live, where you go, the things you're involved with are all local. They are all right there in your community, in your face, for the most part.
And there's an old saying, right? All politics are local.
That's right.
And the fact of the matter is, it is. If you think about your daily interactions and what you do, and I'm not saying don't vote in federal elections. I mean, these are critically important. But the fact of the matter is, if you think about the stores that you go to, the roads that you drive on, the water that's delivered to your home, your trash that's being picked up, that's all local. And if you want to have a voice in that, if you want to say, hey, I want it to be improved, or hey, I like it the way it is, you have to be able to vote. You have to get involved in the local community. If you don't, then things are probably not going to go your way.
Yeah. And that stuff does kind of work its way up the chain as well. It's, you know, vote local, start here. And like you said, I think it's still important to take part in the bigger elections, but that doesn't mean forego the local ones. That's really where you're going to have the biggest impact.
Absolutely.
As an individual.
Absolutely. There's no question about it.
Good. All right. There's a subject I want to bring up because we talked about it a little bit before the show, and it wasn't really planned for today, but it was just kind of an interesting topic. And that was the situation with the Brazos power lines. Now, I don't know where that stands right now. And one of the things I was confused about, which I'm guessing, now I'm easily confused sometimes, but I'm guessing that other people were probably also a little confused, is how much is the city involved in that? Maybe we should start with what is the situation for anybody that doesn't know, but then what is the city's role in trying to work all of that out?
Sure. The Brazos issue, for those that are unfamiliar with it, is basically Brazos is an electric delivery company, similar to Oncor. Brazos serves the west side of our city for those that live in the CoServe service delivery area. As you probably know, that, and most citizens within the state of Texas have the opportunity to choose what power company that they go with. Well, parts of the state have been developed by co-ops in the past. In this case, CoServe, which is a cooperative, serves the west part of our city. Well, they don't build power lines. They contract with a company called Brazos to actually build the power lines, similar to Oncor builds power lines for the rest of the state. Well, you'll have smaller companies such as Brazos that build power lines for co-ops and things like that. In this case, there's been CoServe has said basically, hey, we need to be able to deliver additional power to the west side of Frisco and other areas in that surrounding area. So Brazos basically put together, well, CoServe in conjunction with Brazos, put together a plan that basically said, hey, look, we need to go ahead and put in power delivery lines, electric delivery lines to the west side of Frisco. The proposition basically said, hey, we're going to go ahead and put these elevated electrical delivery lines that are similar to the lines that are going down Legacy, north and south of Main Street. We're going to go ahead and put those right down Main Street, or we're going to go ahead and put them right down Stonebrook on the west side of town. As you can imagine, if you live in those areas, you're highly upset. But the fact of the matter is that the city has no direct impact, has no direct control whether or not those power lines are built there. But I will tell you that there's a large coalition of homeowners associations in conjunction with the city that are actively working to make sure that those power lines are not put up. Those are regulated by the state. And I will tell you that there's been a larger response to this particular issue than any issue in history at the Public Utility Commission. And so they're really looking at this. And there are models that basically say, hey, look, we don't think you need that power. But if you do, the city as well as this coalition are saying, hey, there are better places to put these lines. We can either A, reroute them, or B, bury them. And those are the discussions that are currently underway to make sure that it does not impact not only the property values in that area, but they're unsightly. I mean, sometimes you need to have them. But those type of lines should have been developed years in the past, not today, not in an area that's already developed. And I'll tell you, the city council is 100% on board on this and actively working to make sure that those lines are not put in place.
Okay, that's good to know. And it's not trying to keep them from being put in place if we need the power. It's just making sure that we're not putting up the elevated lines and we find another less intrusive way of delivering that power if need be.
Frisco is, as you probably well know, one of the more affluent cities in the country. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go through phases of brownouts because we don't have enough power. I can assure you that. We will make sure that your TVs are on, that your refrigerator is on, that your AC and your heat are blowing.
Can you help my cell phone stay on? The battery dies all the time.
I wish we could, but I can assure you that won't happen, and we're not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah, good. So, Tim, again, we thank you for your service, and we're grateful for you to come on the show today. Is there anything else you want to leave us with kind of heading into that May 10th election?
You know, Scott, all I can say is this, and that is I really have been privileged to serve the city for the last 3 years. Many may not know that, you know, for one of those years, I was actually deployed to Afghanistan. So when I came back, one of the things that was important to me was to ramp up immediately. In fact, while I was gone, I read a lot of the stuff, and I kept up to date on things. I know this is kind of a long tail off, but one of the issues was the Exide recycling facility. And I actually came home on leave during that period of time when the council was voting on that. And although I was prohibited by DOD, the Department of Defense regulations, from actually taking my seat, I'm not allowed to participate as an elected official when I'm activated, I did use public input. I did stand on the other side of the dais at the podium and spoke to the council and encouraged them to enter into a deal with Exide that did eventually close the plant down. So what I really want to say is I appreciate the opportunity to serve. It really is a pleasure to do so. It's a lot of work. But I just want to say thank you to all that have supported me in the past, for those that will support me in the future. And all I can say is really go out and vote. If it's not for me, and this is what politicians or elected officials aren't supposed to say, if it's not for me, find someone. So find someone that inspires you. Find someone that cares. Find someone that is going to do right by you and do right by the city, so we can all live in what I think is the best city in Texas and probably the best city in the country.
I can't think of a better way to end the show today than on that. So thank you very much, Tim.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so good chat with Tim. We got to learn a little about life as a Frisco city councilman and
exactly
what that looks like from his standpoint. I thought it was interesting that there were some things that reflected the same line of thinking and some of the same answers that we got from Mayor Masso a couple weeks
ago. Yes, definitely. I think it's exciting that our Frisco City Council is definitely unified, not only in supporting each other and supporting a common vision, but also with the fire and the police and the city development, just everything. I mean, we're very, very fortunate because there's a lot of towns our size that start to have just some competing politics going on. So it's exciting, and it's a good thing for everybody in Frisco. Makes everything smooth.
Speaking of exciting.
Yes.
What's going on in Frisco this weekend?
Man, we've got some things going on this weekend. So first off, there's no basketball this next week. They've got kind of a break for the next couple of weeks. But this weekend, starting on Friday, The Foreigner is a community theater play going on at Black Box Theater. And that's going on Friday night and Saturday night. And then on Sunday, the Frisco Heritage Center is having an open house to celebrate Frisco's 112th birthday. Yay!
Oh, very cool.
That's
very
a
cool.
lot of when candles it, on a cake.
So it's at the Frisco Heritage
it
Center.
It is at the Frisco Heritage Center on Sunday, February 16th from 1 to 4. And it's free, open to the public. They're just excited about having a birthday party for Frisco, which is awesome.
That's very cool. And that's a very neat place to go see. This is a good excuse to go over to the Frisco Heritage
yes.
Center if you've never been there before.
Yes, and learn about your city.
Yeah, it's not real big, but there's just enough stuff there to kind of be interesting and give you a little taste of Frisco in its very early days. And for those of you that are interested in Frisco history, we actually have a post up on Lifestyle Frisco about the history of our city. So we'll link to that in the show notes, and you guys can go check that out.
Yep, sounds good. And then Monday, February the 17th, is President's Day. So the kiddos are out from school. And since that is happening, the Frisco Stars Dance Clinic is going on from pretty much 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. FriscoStarsDance.com for all of the details. It is for children pre-K through grade 11, and I have a feeling it's probably prepping people for drill team or dance clubs or, you know, those kind of awesome things.
I hope that lots of young people come out to that one because all the ice and the weather we've had, I think our kiddos have had enough days off this
I know.
Year.
Well, yeah, and sitting around, you know, and twiddling their thumbs because it's all icy and nasty outside.
Yep.
But the most exciting thing about this next week is starting next Wednesday on the 19th, Cirque du Soleil is in town. town. And there are all kinds of dates from February the 19th through the 23rd at Dr. Pepper Arena, all kinds of ticket prices, all kinds of times during those dates. And obviously, this is a super family-friendly, awesome, spectacular event, circus with a twist, if you will.
They've already sold a lot of tickets, too. Yeah. So if you're thinking about going to this show, don't wait. Jump on it now.
Yeah. You can find tickets through drpepperarena.com. That's the easiest way to just get in there and grab some. Lots of things going on.
Cool.
It's exciting.
Another fun weekend in Frisco. You know what else is going to be fun?
What?
The weather's finally going to break a little for us.
It's starting to be patio weather.
I know. We're going to have to do another couple posts just to so we have an excuse to go do some research.
Exactly. Yes.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for this week on the Frisco Podcast. Thanks, as always, for joining us. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, and we'll see you next week.